We've been talking about clutter. We've been having a light-hearted chat about clutter, hoarding, treasured possessions, depending on what side of the fence you're on. But there is a serious side to it, and I don't mean the point at which you can't fit more things into the cupboard, but when it actually becomes, I guess, a compulsive disorder where you can't stop buying things and you can't throw things away. And Dr. Linda Parnham, who's a chartered clinical psychologist with the Wiltshire Psychology Services, joins us now to tell us more. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Laura. Hi.
Hello. Now, first things first, in general, why do we like to keep hold of things and perhaps accumulate more than we should?
Well, there's a variety of factors that encourage us to do that, and most of which have actually already been identified by your listeners. Often there's a sort of obsessional fear that we might lose something that we really value. We might think that it might come in useful at some point later on. Sometimes we just keep shopping, we just keep buying things, we just keep acquiring things without necessarily having a plan of why we might do that. And sometimes we just have a big emotional attachment to lots of possessions that maybe we don't need to have, so it tends to just get a little bit excessive sometimes and we keep things for longer than perhaps we could.
It's interesting actually, because I was thinking about some cards that relatives who've passed away had given me, and it has their handwriting on it, and I can remember my mum saying, well, you should keep hold of those because it's got their handwriting on it.
Absolutely.
which I can sort of see, but it also makes me smile a little bit thinking about it. But we're talking about physical things, but there is a real emotional side to it all, isn't there?
There is a huge emotional side to it all, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, lots of us have got clutter about the place, but at what point does it actually become a clinical problem?
Essentially, it becomes a clinical problem when we've got so many things surrounding us that actually we can't live comfortably anymore. So it gets to the point where rooms in the house are so full of bits and bobs that actually we can't use the rooms in the manner that they're actually intended to be used in. So, for example, we can't sit on the sofa and read a book because we can't find the sofa because it's buried under so many bits and pieces. So at that point, when the house is so full of things that you can't live comfortably, then there's a problem. The other issue is actually when it's starting to cause you distress or upset, and maybe you're starting to become very secretive about it, it impairs your social life and your social functioning, at which point it's really starting to take over your life. So rather than you having possessions, your possessions almost have you, and then at that point it becomes a clinical problem.
I was sort of cringing a little bit thinking, yes, I can't quite sit on my settee, but that's just because I'm a bit messy. I don't think I have a serious problem with it all. But yeah, when it stops you being able to live, you know, your life as you would like to. So how can you go about helping people who've got this kind of problem?
Essentially, there are sort of three areas that we need to help people with if they have compulsive hoarding, where it's really got out of control. The first thing is helping them to stop buying new things, stop acquiring new things. The second aspect is helping people with their organisation, because often people with compulsive hoarding tend to have a few problems with their kind of information processing, their decision making, their organisation. So often we need to help them with that. And the third aspect is helping people actually start to work out what they don't need and help them discard that. So we would be looking at their fears, so helping them come to terms with the anxiety around getting rid of things and trying to rationalise that anxiety a little bit.
That sounds like quite a good process for anyone, even if you haven't actually got a clinical problem with it. But if you've got, because I'm smiling thinking, tick, oh yes, tick, make a note of that, that's what I need to do. Organisational problem, yes,
That's
me. So it's ringing true with me this afternoon. In your experience, is this something that's more likely to affect men than women, or?
Oh, it's a good question, actually. The evidence base in hoarding is not terribly good. It's a very under-researched area. So in terms of the evidence base, I'm not able to give you a definitive answer of whether males or females tend to hoard more. It looks like it's a fairly equal thing between the sexes. In terms of my clinical experience, I would say it mirrors that, actually. It's been a sort of similar ratio between the sexes in terms of who hoards and who doesn't. So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to sit on the fence on that one. I can't give you a clear answer.
That's very diplomatic. No, that's good, though. And just you personally, do you have lots of things, or are you someone who's quite tidy and organised?
Fairly tidy. I have to say I'm a bit of a believer in, you know, a tidy desk is a tidy mind. That said, I've also got lots of sentimental little bits and pieces that I do keep and I do hang on to, but I try and keep a little control over it.
Go on, tell us about one of the pieces that you keep.
I guess the typical one is with having young children, actually, sort of keeping all their early little drawings and their early little baby grows and even sort of odd little trinkets that they picked up and they were interested in. So for me, I think that's probably the biggie, is baby things.
Are you the sort of person that has like their first tooth that fell out or a little piece of hair?
As of yet, the teeth haven't fallen out because they're too young. But yes, I do have the hair from their first haircut, and I have to confess, the hair from their second haircuts as well. So I'm trying to be brave and not keep the hair from their third haircuts, but we'll see how we go.
You'll find yourself falling into the trap. I like it. Well, look, thank you ever so much for coming on and sharing that and giving us a bit of an insight into perhaps the clinical side for some people when it does become a problem. There we go. Thanks, Linda.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you. So there we go. Dr. Linda Parnham, she's a chartered clinical psychologist. And fascinating, isn't it, what makes us want to keep hold of things, as much the emotional side as the actual physical objects.